Today's daf is Chulin daf Chof Vav, and we are at the Mishnah, the second Mishnah, on daf Chof Hei Yomibay. So Chulin daf Chof Vav is the last daf of the first parak of Masechtas Chulin. And as we've seen, although the majority of the first parak of the Masechta dealt with the halachos of Shechita, or at the very least, Me'inyin Le'inyin Ba'isa Inyin, at the very end of the parak, the Perek digressed and discussed halachas that have nothing to do with the course sugyas of Masechtas Chulin. And again, if you just follow the trail of what exactly happened, we were discussing the halachas of Shechita. The Mishnah then compared and contrasted Hilchas Shechita with Hilchas Malika. Malika and Shechita are very similar. Shechita is to an oif chulin what Malika is to an oif kachin. Once we mentioned Malika, the Mishnah discussed the halacha that deals with the Torah and Yoyim, the two types of birds that are kachin for Malika. And the Mishnah said that if you want to describe the relationship between the Torah and the Bnei Yoyim, kachin be Torah, possible be Bnei Yoyim, kachin be Bnei Yoyim, possible Torah. And with that, the Mishnah digressed and went ahead and discussed different halachas completely unrelated to what we're talking about, where you find this type of relationship. What's kasha here is pasul there, and what's pasul here is kasha here. I think this is very similar to the first parak of Masechtas Megillah, where the Mishnah discusses Ein Bein, Adar Rishon, and Adar Sheni, and then it digresses to discuss different Ein Beins. So it's very similar to the Ein Beins. We have here a digression. Regardless, in today's daf, the last daf, we're going to have a whole smorgasbord of sugyas. We're going to learn a little bit about Maisa Sheni, Hilchas Mikvois, the Halachas of Machzis Hashekel. We're going to learn about Maisa Behemoth. We can learn about the halacha that a father, once upon a time, was allowed to sell his daughter as an Oma of Ria, as long as she's a Ketana. We're going to learn about the Knas of Oymes and Mefata. We're going to learn about Mion. We're going to learn about Chalitza. And then we're going to learn a little bit about Havdalah. Regardless, Zok the Mishnah. But before the Mishnah, a little bit of an introduction. And that is, we know that the basic halacha of Maisa Sheni is that it had to be eaten in Yerushalayim. What happens if somebody has Maisa Sheni? It's going to be impractical for him to make it to Yerushalayim, and by the time he makes it to Yerushalayim, the peiros that he has is going to spoil. So the Torah says there's a plan B, there's an option. You can be paid to the Maisa Sheni, you can transfer the Kedusha from the peiros onto the money, and then the money doesn't go bad. When you have an opportunity to go up to Yerushalayim, you'll take that money and you'll buy food with the money, you'll eat it b'kedusha v'tahira in Yerushalayim. And the Mishnah says that as far as what kind of food you're allowed to buy, it's almost everything. There are very few exceptions. One of the exceptions is water. So, for example, you can buy a beverage of your choice, but mayim is not considered a qualified food that you would be able to use to purchase with your mois maisa sheni. That's the first halacha. The second halacha is, we know that a mikvah, in order for it to be kosher, has to have 40 sah of mei geshamim. If the water was mayim she'uvim, it was taken from a well, then the halacha is, it's going to be possible. What happens if you have a mikvah that has 40 sah of mei geshamim, meaning it's a kosher mikvah, but you add it on top of the 40 sah, mayim shuvim. So it depends. If you had the 40 sah of mei geshamim, and then afterwards you added the mayim shuvim, then it's okay. The mayim shuvim is always going to be bottled to the kosher mikvah. It's never going to disqualify the mikvah. If, however, you had a mikvah that was chaser, it wasn't 40 sah, even if it was chaser kartov, it was missing a tiny bit, but it wasn't the full shear of 40 saw, and then you go ahead and you add 3 lugim of mayim she'uvim, the halacha is it would passel the mikvah. What happens if you would add 3 lugim of some other beverage, such as wine or something else? It would have passel the mikvah. This halacha of gimel lugim mayim she'uvim, disqualifying the mikvah, if it was put into the mikvah before you had the full complement, before you had the 40 saw of mayim geshamim, is only true if it's water. It's not true if it's not water. With that haktoma zok mishnah. In the winemaking process, after the grapes were pressed, so the winemakers would take the pressed grapes, they would soak it in water, leave it there for an extended period of time. With time, the grapes would be nice and tam into the water. Eventually, it would ferment, and it was used as an inferior grade of wine. Says the Mishnah, if somebody has temed, he has grapes, it's been soaking in water, actually hichmetz. If it's been soaking, but not long enough for this liquid to actually ferment, so the halach is we look at it as water. And as a result, you can't use your Maisa Sheni money to buy this temet. Because as we said before, you can't use Maisa Shein money to buy water. Additionally, it's going to be considered water, so that if it's she'uvin, three lugim of it that go into a mikvah before you had the 440 saw is going to make the mikvah possible. Misha Echmetz, once it ferments, nikach bekesef meiser, then the halacha is that it's considered wine. Being that it's considered wine, you can use your meiser sheni money to buy it. Additionally, if any place has a mikvah, it's not going to disqualify the mikvah, because again, it's wine, it's not water, and it's only gimel lugim of mayim she'uvim that passel the mikvah. But if it's yayin, then you don't have that halacha, it's going to passel the mikvah. Another halacha. And before the next halacha, again, a little bit of an introduction. That is, we're all familiar with the mitzvah of machzes hashaka. Once upon a time, when there was a Beis HaMikdash, there was an obligation for every yid, between the ages of 20, 60, women, levim, sugyas, and mesachtes kohen. But the point is, there was a mitzvah aseh d'oraisa for a yid to give a machzes hashekel. The money went to the Beis HaMikdash, to the enterprise called the Beis HaMikdash. The purpose of the money was to finance the karbanos tzibur. A carbon tzibur had to belong to the tzibur. So how do you make sure that every member of the tzibur has a chelek in the karbanos tzibur? You use the machzes hashekel that were contributed by every member of the tzibur. And as a result, every single carbon we look at as belonging to every single member of the tzibur. Chachamim made a takana, and they said that being that sometimes the silver of the coin that was the half a shekel would erode, there was a chash that maybe when you're giving your machzes hashekel, you didn't actually give a full machzes hashekel. It's a mitzvah deraisa. You have to give machzes hashekel. If it's a little bit less, you're not yoytze the mitzvah. So Chachamim made a takana that you should be moisef a kalboy. Kalbin's a small amount of silver. Add a little bit of silver. In the event that it's not a full machzes hashekel, like this, you're going to be able to get away with it. Stating that, the halacha is that the only time you had to be moisef a kalbin is if you're giving your own machzes hashekel. But let's say Reuven's giving machzes hashekel on behalf of Shimon. You're giving it on somebody else's behalf. Then the halacha is you don't have to be moisef kalbin. So if you're giving it for yourself, you have to be moisef the kalbin. If you're giving it for somebody else, then you don't have to be moisef a kalbin. Next halacha. We're familiar with meisef behemah. Asir yir Kodesh. There's a halacha. It's Xeris HaKosev that if you have a partnership, two people, they own a business together, and they own cattle, they don't have to give Maisa Behema. So an individual that owns animals, he has to give Maisa Behema. But a Shutfis does not have to give Maisa Behema. With that, Akdama Zakta Mishnah, Ha'achim HaShutfim. There were two brothers, and they yarshined their father. So their father died, he left over an estate. He left over money, he left over cattle. There was an estate now. So the question is, when the brothers go ahead and they are now going to determine whether or not they have to give Maisa Behema, or whether the brothers are going to determine now, you know, they want to give Machzes HaShekel from the estate. Should they be Moisef a Kalbin? Should they not be Moisef a Kalbin? They have a little bit of a question. The question is, how do we look at their relationship with the money? Do we look at it as if they are taking their father's money, their father's cattle, and from that they're giving machzes hashekel, and that they're being mafresh maisa behema? Or maybe no, being that the father died, there's two brothers now, Yerusha is deiraisa, goes memeil, even a cotton could be yorish, deiraisa. You don't have to do a maisa kinyan to be a yorish. So we look at them as two individuals. So it says the Mishnah really depends. If they went ahead and they actually divided the estate, so now we look at half of the estate belonging to one brother, the other half of the estate looking at the other brother. If they decide that they want to join forces, so it's no different than Reuven and Shimon deciding together that they want to be partners. If, however, they didn't divide the estate yet, it's in what's known by Chazal as betfusas habayis. It's still in the estate form, they actually didn't go ahead and divide it. So then we look at it as belonging to the father. So how does it impact the halachas? So it says the Mishnah, Hashutfin, Kishachayovin, Bekalboin, in the event that they're going to be Chayavin Kalboin, which would mean that they divided the estate. And as a result, when they give Machzes HaShekel, they're giving their own thing. Thus, they're Chayavin Kalboin, because we said in the introduction, you only give Kalboin if you're giving your own thing. If you're giving somebody else's thing, you don't have to give the Kalboin. Then, Peturim B'Maisa Behema, they're going to be Potter for Maisa Behema, because Shutfin HaPotter for Maisa Behema. Kishachayovim B'Maisa Behema. If, however, they didn't divide it yet. Therefore, it's looked at as belonging to the father, not them, the Shutfin. The father is a sole proprietor. He's one person. As a result, there is a Chi of Maisa Behema, Peturim B'Kalboin. Then, if they give Machzes Shekel. So we look at it as they're giving machzes hashekel from the father's estate, and as a result, they're going to be potter min hakalbin. Either way, the Gemara from here until the end of the Mishnah is going to discuss not the seif of the Mishnah, the ratio of the Mishnah. So going back to the ratio of the Mishnah. The Mishnah said, if you have temet, again, what's temet? You have grapes that were pressed, it's soaking your water right now. Once it ferments, it's going to be
treat it as wine. The question is, do you look at it as wine or do you look at it as water? Can I use my Maisa Sheni money to buy? If it's wine, I could. If it's water, I can't. If I have three lugim of it, shu'uvim, and it goes into a mikveh that's chaser, does it pass the mikveh or not? If it's water, it's going to pass the mikveh. If it's wine, it's not going to pass the mikveh. So what did the Mishnah say? It depends. What's the determining factor? Was it hichmetz or was it loy hichmetz? Did it ferment or did it not ferment? If it fermented, if it was hichmetz, so then the halacha is we look at it as wine. If it was loy hichmetz, it did not ferment, then we look at it as wine. Who's the Tanavar Mishnah? L'chur at first glance. Loy Rabbi Yehuda, v'loy Rabbanon. It would seem to be not Rabbi Yehuda or the Rabbanon. The Tanav we learned in the Mishnah, Mesechtes Maisris, Hamisamet. If somebody was making temet, so he was soaking these grapes in water, he wanted to make this temet. And what he did was he measured very precisely how much water he had in his mixer. So he had a gallon of water, and now he adds grapes. Umatzin, he comes back 3 days later, and he found kedei midasai. There's still a gallon. So the Tanakhama, the Chachamim of the Mishnah say, Potter, the halach is you don't have to be mafresh, trumas, or maestras from this mixture, because obviously all you have is water. Because if you had more than water, then the volume of the liquid would have gone up a little bit. You started with a gallon. Now you fight to have a gallon. What does that mean? That means there's nothing inside it. Nothing with mamashos. Even if there's tam, but it's tamay vole mamashos. There's no mamashos inside, and as a result, there'd be no obligation to be mafresh trumas and maasos. Rabbi Yehuda mechayev. Rabbi Yehuda says, no, I don't care. As long as it's been soaking inside, that would be enough to be chayev. In other words, we have a Mishnah over here where the Mishnah seems to be saying that if you look at temet and you want to know, is it wine or is it water? The Mishnah over there is discussing with regards to the obligation to be mafresh trumas and maasos from it. What does it depend on? So according to Rabbi Yehuda, it sounds like you're always going to be chayiv. Rabbi Yehuda says, even if you didn't increase the volume of the liquid, you're going to be chayiv. According to the Chachamim, it depends. If you increase the volume of the liquid, then we look at it as wine. Otherwise, if it's kedei midasa, you found it exactly the way you left it, nothing changed, then you're going to be potter. In other words, we have a determining factor of how you know whether it's water or wine, but it's not the same determining factor as we had in the Mishnah. What is it? It's two shittas. According to the Chachamim, you have to measure it. According to Reb Yehuda, it's always going to be viewed as wine. It's fake the Gemara. Mani, who's the Tana of our Mishnah? Rabbanon. If the Tana of Mishnah is the Rabbanon, I forgot the Hichmetz. I don't do it Hichmetz. Mishnah says if it's Hichmetz, we look at it as wine. It's not true. If it was Hichmetz and the volume remained the same, we're going to look at it as water. And Reb Yehuda. And if it's Reb Yehuda, I forgot the loy Hichmetz. Even if it didn't ferment, Allah should be that it should be treated as wine. Meaning our Mishnah makes it tali in Hichmetz. In the Mishnah Masechtas Maestros, there's two sheetahs. According to one sheet, it's always wine. And according to the other sheet, it depends on the volume. So who is the Tana of our Mishnah? Rav Nachman, Rabbi Baravua, Bishah Hichmetz, Machloikis. You have to say that the Machloikis, Rabbi Yehuda, and the Chachamim, in that Mishnah Masechtas Maestros, is discussing Dafka where it was Hichmetz. And it's only when it was Hichmetz that there's even a discussion amongst the Tanam whether we should look at it as wine or not wine. What's the Shaila? According to the Chachamim, if it's the same volume, even if it was Hichmetz, we look at it as water. And according to Rabbi Yehuda, as long as it was Hichmetz, I don't care what happened. I don't care what the volume is. It doesn't interest me. The bottom line is, as long as it was Hichmetz, the halacha is we're going to look at it as wine. The Tana of our Mishnah is Rabbi Yehuda. According to Rabbi Yehuda, if it's Hichmetz, it's always looked at as wine. And that is the sheet in the Mishnah. As long as it's Hichmetz, says the Gemara, Masisa Rabbi Yehuda, Bechinam Rabbi Yitz, Rabbi Chanina, Bishah Hichmetz, Machloikis, and the Tana of our Mishnah is Rabbi Yehuda. Another halacha. Amar Rab Nachmin, Amar Rabbi Baravu, Temed, Shalach, Bekasif Meiser. If somebody bought Temed with Meiser Sheni money, and at the time that he bought it, it was not yet Hichmetz. And then he has this temet sitting in his house, and eventually it was hichmet. So the halacha is kana mais. I mean, even though initially when he bought it, it was like hichmet, and based on the halacha of the Mishnah, you're not allowed to buy temet that was like hichmet with maisa sheni money. But if it was lebesayif hichmet, so then lebesayif the transfer of kedusha from the money onto the temet goes into effect. My timer, what's the reason? The Mishnah says a lumdus. The lumdus is that we look at it, as says Rashi, the Bishas Likicha Peirahava. We look at it as if at the time that the person bought it, it was already wine. The Nichnas Bahem Koyach Acharzanim. Eloshadayim Lo Nigmar. It just wasn't Nigmar yet. The Chilo Ma'ayuhu. And we look at it as a regular Chilo. The bottom line is, even though at the time that you bought it, it wasn't maybe wine yet, but if it later becomes wine, Igloy Milsalam Afreya, that it was wine at the time that you bought it. Says the Gemara, Elamasizin, Diktani, Hichmetzin, Loi, Hichmetz, Loi. I don't understand the Mishnah about it. What did the Mishnah say? The Mishnah says, you're not allowed to buy Temed, actually, Hichmetz, with Kesef, Maisa, Sheni. And in the Mishnah, it's Mashma, that what would be if you bought What would be if you actually bought temetz lehichmas with your ma'aser sheni money? It sounds like the kedusha wouldn't transfer. You don't have to worry about the temetz. There's no kedusha, right? If you can't buy it with your ma'aser sheni money, then that means there's implications on the kedusha level. It means that the kedusha doesn't transfer from the money onto, right? What happens when you pay the ma'aser sheni? So the kedusha goes from the peiros ma'aser sheni onto the money. When you then buy something with the ma'aser sheni, the kedusha transfers again. It transfers now from the money onto the thing that you're buying. If the Mishnah says that temet is not nikach with kesef ma'aser sheni, actually hichmetz, it sounds like the kedusha doesn't transfer. For the Gemara, how could you just go ahead unequivocally state that there's no kedusha? Maybe if you're going to let it sit around, dilma yishafki havi machmetz, maybe it would become. Maybe it would ferment later. But the Gemara says, no, I'm a rabbi. Rabbi says, the Mishnah doesn't mean that you can just assume that it's never going to be. It means, where it never fermented. It never fermented, then you don't have the Gloy L'Milsalam Freya that at the time the Yabuda was already won. Rabbi said a different teretz. Hamani, Rabbi Yochanan Ben-Nuri. Who's this Rabbi Yochanan Ben-Nuri? So it's from the beginning of Masechtas Makkos, from the time we learned to the Mishnah. Gimel Lugin Mayim Chaser Kartov Shenochan L'Toychon Kurtav Yayin. So we said before that a mikvah, in order for it to be kosher, has to have 40 sah of megashamim. What happens if you had 40 sah of megashamim and then mayim shu'uvim falls into the mikvah? It doesn't bottom. What happens if you had a mikvah that didn't have the full 40 sah of megashamim and then mayim shu'uvim fell in? It's a problem. When is it a problem? If 3 lugim of mayim shu'uvim would fall into that mikvah, it would be an issue. So the Mishnah discusses where you had a mikvah that was chaser. You also had 3 lugim mayim that was chaser. Shenafa l'toichem kurtav yayin. Then a little bit of wine fell into the gimel lugim of mayim. Umarei and kamari yayin. So now you have 3 lugim, and it looks like wine. Shenafa l'mikvah, and it fell into a mikvah that was chaser. It didn't have the 40 sauce. Halach is like paslu. It doesn't make the mikvah pasul. Why? Because in order for the mikvah to be pasul, you need 3 lugim of mayim. You don't have 3 lugim of mayim. You have 3 lugim chaser kurtav. The hashlama of it was with yayin, not with mayim. Gimel lugim mayim chaser kadosh nafal teichem kurtav chol. Be the same exact case. Where again you have a mikvah that's chaser, and now you have 3 lugim of mayim that's chaser, and a little bit of not wine falls into the 3 lugim, but a little bit of milk falls into it. What's the difference between wine and milk? When wine falls into the mixture, it doesn't look like water anymore. Now it looks like wine. If milk falls into it, umareim kamar mayim, it's still going to look like water. Enough lulim mikvah, then they fall into the mikvah. Halachas lo paslu. It doesn't make it puzzle. Again, because even though it looks like water, it's not water. It's mostly water, a little bit of milk. The halacha l'moshe misina is it has to be 3 lugim of mayim. I disagree. Meaning it depends. In the first case, where it looks like wine, it's not going to passel. But in the second case, where it looks like water, even though it's not 100% water, it's only mostly water, but being that at the end of the day, the entire mixture looks like water, because it's chol of that was mashlamid, over there the halacha is, it is going to passel the mikvah. So it says the Gemara, lav amar Rabbi Yochanan. What do you see from this Rabbi Yochanan? As in Rabbi Yochanan ben Nuri, that basach hazusas linon. That when you want to determine what something is, it's not enough to look at what it is chemically, physically. You also have to take the appearance of it into consideration. Thus, if you have gimel lugim of mayim, which chaser kartov, and you add milk where the taruva still looks like water, and halacha we treat it like water. So hachinami, what does that have to do with our Mishnah? Zul basa chazusa. We're going to look at what this mixture looks like. The time of a chazusa dahai mayaninu. Meaning, enachinami, Rav Nachman says, that if you would buy meiser, if you would buy temet with your meiser sheni money, and then later it would be hichmetz, at the time that it's hichmetz later, it's a goy milsa mafrei. But until the time that it's hichmetz, at this moment right now, we still look at it as water. The reason we still look at it as water, because right now is lehichmetz. Right now it looks like water, and if right now it looks like water, according to Rabbi Yochanan ben Nuri, meaning the Mishnah is going according to Rabbi Yochanan ben Nuri. That's why the Mishnah says that we look at what it looks like at that state, and I don't care what happens later. But then the Chachamim, if according to the Chachamim, they don't hold like Rabbi Yochanan ben Nuri, meaning according to the Chachamim that argue with Rabbi Yochanan ben Nuri, there's a concept of a Gloy Milsa Mafreya. But the Mishnah is going according to Rabbi Yochanan ben Nuri, and that's why the Mishnah doesn't care about what was a Gloy Lamafreya. Because even if it was a Gloy Lamafreya, but at the end of the day, Lamafreya, it still looked like water, and if it looked like water, halacha has to treat it like water. Regardless, what Rav Nachman had said to explain our Mishnah, we started off with Mani Masis, and the Mishnah says that is temed wine or is it temed water? It depends if it was hichmas or loy hichmas. Then the Gemara brought a Mishnah Masechtas Maasos that had 2 shitas. According to one shita, it depends on the midah, you have to measure it. According to the other shita, no. Temet is always treated as wine. The Gemara said, "Manimasi." So what did Rav Nachman say? The Mishnah is going according to Rav Yehuda. Rav Yehuda only said his halacha that Temet is treated like wine when it was Hechmet. As the Gemara, that Rav Nachman said is replicated to Rabbi Loza. Rabbi Loza, how come the Rishon all mimakam acher? Rabbi Loza said that everybody agrees, meaning Rav Yehuda and the Chachamim in that Mishnah Masechris Maestris, who argue whether or not you could be mafresh chumas and maestris from this temed, where uz matzah kidei midasai, the volume of the mixture didn't change. Could you be mafresh, or are you obligated to be mafresh chumas and maestris? Rabbi Yehuda said that. But even Rabbi Yehuda said, Rabbi Lazar only said his halacha with regards to being mafresh mineyu bay from the temed itself. But he agreed that you can't be mafresh mimakum achar, elim kein hichmetz, unless it fermented. Why? Because Savar, he holds below Hichmetz Machloikis, that really the Machloikis is even below Hichmetz, V'ad kan loy komechayv Rabbi Yehuda ele minei obey. And even Rabbi Yehuda only said as halacha minei obey, avu ma'al moloi. And the reason is, Duma asi lafrusha min achiv al aptur, min aptur al achiv. Rabbi Loza said a chiddush, and even Rabbi Loza had said that there's a chiv to be mafresh shumas and maestris, he only said minei obey ya mafresh shumas and maestris. Because being that it was loy Hichmetz yet, so he was afraid, maybe it won't be Hichmetz, and as a result, maybe it'll be a gloy milsa that you weren't really chayv in shumas and maestris. So he said, Mineu bay to be mafresh that you do, because Mamon of Shach. If it's going to be Hechmetz, so you are mafresh. And if it's not going to be Hechmetz, so then you never had an obligation to be mafresh. But if you want to use this temed to be mafresh from Trumas or Maestris for something else, that you can't do. Because what happens if this is going to be a loy Hechmetz, and then it's going to come out that you were mafresh, but not potter, because if it was loy Hechmetz, it never became chayiv, al achiv. But what do you see from Rabbi Loza? All we need is one piece of Rabbi Loza. The Rabbi Loza clearly understood the machloikis, Rabbi Yehuda, and the Chachamim, even loy Hechmetz. Because he said that when Rabbi Yehuda said his halacha beloy hichmetz, that there's an Indian to give chumas or maestris on this temet, he only said minei ubet. Because otherwise you're running into p'tur halachiyav issues. Bottom line is, you see that he held not like Rav Nachman. Rav Nachman said b'she hichmetz machloikis. From Rabbi Loza's statement, it is clear that he held afilu b'she loy hichmetz machloikis. One more halacha on this. No tundra b'na temet ha'chloy hichmetz mashikoy b'mayim. So there's halacha that if water becomes tameh, there's a special halacha that you could be metayer the water by taking the water and touching a kosher mikvah. So if you take the water, you do what's called hashaka. You make contact with a kosher mikvah, that's enough. What if you have some other liquid, like wine or something else? Then you wouldn't be able to do it. So it's dafka by water, not by something else. So the same shaila, temet, we've been discussing, do we look at it as water? Do we look at it as wine? Could I buy my sasheni? Could I use my sasheni to buy temet with it? Again, is it water or is it wine? It's three lugim of it, of mayim shuvim. Does it pass on the mikvah? Does it not pass on the mikvah? Depends if you look at it as water or wine. Do I have to be mafresh trumas from it? Again, depends if it's water or wine. Now you have a fourth halacha. Can I be metayer the temed with hashak or not? So it's a braisa. Temed, actually, hichmetz like our mishnah. Until it fermented mashikib mayim. Because you look at it as water. Misha hichmetz, once it ferments, ein mashikib mayim, you cannot do hashak. Amar Rav, Rav said, loyton ala shetam de mayim tayrim, vinitmu. Rav said a chiddush. Rav said that the only time it's true, temet actually hichmetz, you could go ahead and you could do hashaka. That's only if the temet was tahar, then it became tamei. Meaning it was in a state of temet, it became tamei. Avol nitmei meikara, but let's say it started off the water was tamei, then you mixed it together with the grapes, then it became temet. Even if it was loy hichmetz, if you want to go ahead now, be metayer with hashaka, loy, you can't do that. Also, Rav Gevia mi bake sils, Rav Gevia mi bake sils, he was one of the Amirah. He heard what Rav said. He told Rav Ashi, and he asked Rav Ashi Kash. He said, Maishnot me mi kar de loy. What's the reason that if the water was tamei, then it became temet? It was loy hichmetz. The halacha is that it's a problem that you can't do hashak, even though it was like hichmetz yet, and halacha treats it as water, presumably damrina, because you're worried that aidi demaya yakiri shachni tatoi upeir kafi milil. You're just worried that the metzias is that the water may have sunk to the bottom. If it sunk to the bottom, when you do the hashaka, it could be it's the peri part that's making the contact with the mikvah. It's not the maya part that's making the contact with the mikvah. Like kosalkele hashaka lemaya, and the hashaka is not working for the water. Ihachi, but Rav Gevir mi Beksil said, if that's the case, tahoirim ulu b'saif nitmu nami. What's the difference if it was
first tame or later tame. The metzias doesn't change. Tuma affects it on a spiritual level, but it doesn't affect it on a physical level. It must be. You have to say it all gets tamished. It all becomes one big bilbo. So here too, it should be a bilbo. And the Gemara doesn't say where Rav Ashi responded, but regardless, this concludes the first part of the daf. Vayter sok the mishnah kol makayim sheyesh mecher ein knas. The kol makayim sheyesh knas ein mecher. So we know that the Torah says that a father has a right to sell his daughter, but only while she's a ketana. Once she becomes a naira, once she turns 12 years old, certainly if she's a bagera, she's older than 12, the halacha is he's not allowed to sell her anymore. Another halacha, a naira that is nenas, or mefuta. If someone's ma'anes or mefata a naira, the Torah says, v'nosa la'via naira, you have to give a knas, and the knas goes to the father. Says the Mishnah, any girl that's of age, that the father could sell her, komakam chiyach mecher and knas. That means that she's too old if she's too young for there to be knas. V'chamakam chiyach knas, and if this knas, a mecher is not going to be mecher. What's the reason? Because you could sell a ktana, and you get knas for a naira. So if she's the age of mecher, that means by definition she's a ktana. A ktana, there's no knas. If she's of an age of knas, that means she's a naira. That means the father can't sell. Rabbi Yudah Merav, Zudivi Rameir. Even though it sounds very simple, but the truth is it's really a das yochin and chastis mish. It's chitas Rameir. Av chachamim oimrim. The chachamim say, yesh knas b'mokar mecher. That even a ktana who has mecher also has knas. The time went to the b'raisa. And this b'raisa, if you look in the Maseres HaShas, is mentioned. Actually, Maseres HaShas says Ksubis Daf Mem, but it's really the first almonds right in the beginning of Perek Elinayis. Ktana mibasi mecha vachatovi be Cyrus, yeshlo mecher, ktana mibasi mecha, until she brings to Cyrus, has mecher, right? A ktana father can tell, they ain't look knas. Mishatovi be Cyrus, once she has be Cyrus, acheti boger, yeshlo knas, ve ain't lo mecha devi ramey, shoy ramey roi, mirar mishnah. Komokim sheesh mecher in knas, vechomokim sheesh knas, a mech, vechachomim oimrim, the chachomim say, ktana mibas gimel shonu be a mechot, acheti boger. No, this knas, even for ktana, once she's a ru'i labia, once she's 3 years or older, even though she's still a ktana, she's not a naira yet, still the halach is a knas. There's still knas. Right to Gemara, knas in mecheloi. Ktana mi baskim shalom vi mecher, as knas sounds like only knas and not mecher. Says the Gemara, ema af knas be mokum mecher. Doesn't mean only mecher, it means knas. And mecher, avada, there's mecher. The Torah says there's mecher. The chiddush is that this is going to be knas as well. In other words, our Mishnah says that a ktana has no knas. That shita's rameir and chas. But according to the chachamim, a ktana mibas shalosh shanim b'yom echad has knas, which means that there's going to be knas b'makom mecher. In other words, the Mishnah is shita's rameir vayta. Zok the Mishnah, kol makom sheyesh miyun ein chalitza, v'chol makom sheyesh chalitza ein miyun. So what's miyun? If a girl gets married, midi rabbanan. So you know, midi raisa, a father could sell his daughter. That was the previous Mishnah. A father also has a right to marry his daughter off. As biti nasati lishazeh, a father could be mekabel kedushin on behalf of his daughter that's a ketana, midi raisa. But only the father could do it. What about a brother, a mother, one of the other relatives? They don't have the right to do that. Stating that, the Chachamim said that just like midi raisa, the father could be mekadesh a daughter, the brother's mother, v'shar kroivim lashon haramam, could be mekadesh a girl, kedushay derabban. But being that kedushin is only derabban, there's a tremendous kula. And that is that what happens if this girl decides one day she's not interested in staying married to this man anymore? She could walk away from the marriage. On a deraisa marriage, the only way to terminate it is if the husband gives a get. But being that this kedushin is only kedushay derabban, so the halacha, she could be mamayim, she could decide she's not interested in being married anymore. It's what's known as miyun, and miyun gives her a right to walk away. Chalitza, we know it. Says the Mishnah, kol mokoim sheyesh miyon. If the girl could do miyon, that means she's a ketana. Because only a ketana could be mimayit nenes, which means ain't chalitza. Because a ketana can't do chalitza. V'chol mokoim sheyesh chalitza. She could do chalitza, which by definition means she's already bas mitzvah. Amen. So she's too old already to do miyon. Om ravidom ravs udivir rameh. It's also rameh. Av chachamim oimrim, the chachamim say, yesh miyon. B'makim chalitza. The Tanya, who's this? Rameyer. It's a price. I must say, Abbas b'malenes. Until what point could a girl do miyun? Achetavish de Cyrus. Until she speaks to Cyrus. Divi Rameyer. Rabbi Yehuda Omer. Rabbi Yehuda says, Achiyar bas shachar alalova. No, that even after she already becomes bas mitzvah, until the shachar is nesraba on the lovan, it's a later age. Until that point, she still has the right to do miyun. Meaning the Mishnah that says that only a ketana could do miyun, Zudivi Rameyer. But Rabbi Yehuda argues, and Rabbi Yehuda holds that even a gdoila kedumion, there is a maximum age, but it's older than ketana. So it's not true that chamakim sheyesh miyon in chalitza v'chamakim sheyesh chalitza in miyon. Incidentally, another thing you see in the Mishnah is that a ketana cannot do chalitza. That's also shitas Rav Meir. It's Rav Meir Masechtas Yevamos Daf Kuf Hey. It's a machlokes Rav Meir and Chachamim, where Rav Meir's shita is that a ketana cannot do chalitza. The Chachamim hold that a ketana can do chalitza. So the Gemara said Zudivri Rav Meir on the first part of the Mishnah as it relates to miyun, that only a ketana could do miyun and a gedola cannot do miyun. Zudivri Rav Meir. The truth is the second part of the Mishnah. I think is also shita's Rav Meir Ayin Sham Yevamos Daf Kuf Hey. It's only Rav Meir that holds that a ketana cannot do chalitza. According to Chachamim, a ketana could do chalitza. Either way, Zok the Mishnah Vayter Kol Mok. Sheyesh tekiya ain havdala. The chomakoim sheyesh havdala ain tekiya. So, what exactly are these tekiyas? So, again, a little bit of background. And the background is a gemara in the end of Perek by Memat Likin. It's Mesechta Shabbos, Daflamid Heyamid Beis, Tanu Rabbanan. So, once upon a time, there was a minig that Erev Shabbos, as Shabbos was coming, there was someone that was set aside in every kehila. He would blow shofar so that the oilam would know that Shabbos is coming. And the Brai says as follows, Sheish tekiyos toikin Erev Shabbos. There were six tekiyos that this Baal tekeya would blow on Erev Shabbos. Shabbos Rishoyna, the first one was the Haftalas Amim Malach Shabbos Adas. The first one was the people that were far away, they were working in the fields. They had to hear this tekiyah. They should know it's time to start coming into the city. Shnia, the second one, was lahaftalir. People that were living in the cities, the people that had stores, the chanuyos, they should know to close their stores. Shlishis, the third one, was lahadlikes aner, to know that it's time to light neiris. Divri Rab Nasr, Yehuda Nasi Yomer. Yehuda Nasi said shlishis, the third one, was lachlit tefillin. Once upon a time, everybody would wear tefillin all day, so you need time to take your tefillin off. So the third one was to give you enough time to take your tefillin. V'shoye k'dei tzliyas dag katan, or k'dei lahadrik pas batana. Then the batakeh would wait a little bit. How much time to make final preparations for Shabbos? Incidentally, the Rishonim say that you see from this Gemara that the time to light the ner isn't mamish right before Shabbos. It's supposed to be enough time where you could even make some preparations before, right? 18 minutes. But you see even more than that. You see that you're allowed to make preparations after you light the menorah. The Rosh says, you see from here that when a woman lights candles Friday night, the man's still allowed to do malacha, because that's what the Mishnah said. The third tekiyah, what was the purpose of the third tekiyah? It was lahadlikas haner. It was so that the ladies should go light candles, and then they would wait. Kedei tzlias dag katan, or kedei lahadik pas patana. And then v'tekeya umeria v'tekeya tkiya true tkiya b'shoyves. It's kikimin Shabbos. Anyway, that was the halachas. Our mission discusses what happens when Yontif and Shabbos fall out smuchin zelazah. So Yontif falls out on a Friday, or Yontif falls out on a Sunday. So if Yontif falls out on a Friday, that's poshet that they would blow shofar on Thursday. Just like they blew shofar before Shabbos, they blew shofar before Yontif. It's the same thing, can't do malach on Yontif, just like can't do malach on Shabbos. The question is, did they blow shofar on Yontif before Shabbos was coming? Because Shabbos is more chamer than Yontif. On Yontif, you're allowed to do malach ha-seichel nefesh. On Shabbos, you're not allowed to do malach ha-seichel nefesh. So the question is, was there shofar on Yontif when Yontif is Erev Shabbos? Again, it's Friday afternoon, it's Yontif, it's Shavuos. Now Shabbos is coming. So the question is, on Shavuos itself, are they going to blow Shofar or not? Zok the Mishnah, kol makim sheyesh tekiya ein havdala. V'chol makim sheyesh havdala ein tekiya. The Mishnah explains, Yontif shcholias b'Erev Shabbos, Yontif that falls out on Erev Shabbos, toikin, they would blow Shofar. And why would they blow shofar? Drashi, because Shabbos is more chamer than Yontif. Because on Shabbos, you're not allowed to do malach ha-seichel nefesh. On Yontif, you're allowed to do malach ha-seichel nefesh. So even though they don't have to blow shofar, we'll see, it wasn't six tekiyos. You don't have to blow shofar to get people to come in from the fields, because nobody's working on the field. It's Yontif anyways. But at the same time, you still need this separation between Yontif and Shabbos, because on Yontif, you're allowed to do malach ha-seichel nefesh, and on Shabbos, you're not allowed to do Melech Seichel Nefesh. At the same time, V'loim Havdilim, but there's no Havdala. Right? You don't make Havdala when you go from Yontif to Shabbos, even though you're going from Kedusha to Kedusha. One is Kedusha's Yontif, the other one is Kedusha Shabbos, but there's no Havdala in between. Matzai Shabbos, what happens if Yontif falls down on a Sunday? So then already Mavdilim, there is Havdala. Right? You make Havdala on Matzai Shabbos, even though you're going from, right? When you make Kiddush, Yontif, night, Matzoi Shabbos, you make Havdalah. But at the same time, but on Shabbos, you didn't blow shofar, even though it was Erev Yontif. Ketzad mavdilin, what was the nusach avdolah? What are you supposed to do when you make avdolah? Going from Shabbos to Yontif, hamavdol ben kodesh l'kodesh, Rab Doisa says, ben kodesh chamor l'kodesh akal. You're supposed to emphasize the fact that Yontif is not as kodesh as Shabbos. Thus, you don't just say hamavdol ben kodesh l'kodesh, because that would seem to equate the two levels of kedush. No, it's two different levels. Thus, you're supposed to say, ben kodesh chamor l'kodesh akal. Says the Gemara, hechi teke, when you blow shofar on Yontif, which is also Erev Shabbos, so that the Olam should know, no more Melechas Eichel Nefesh, how exactly did they blow Shofar? Meaning it was understood that you didn't follow exactly what the Gemara says in Shabbos Taflam and Heyam Adays. A Shino you were supposed to do. What was the Shino? Amar Rabbi Dor Yehuda said, Toikeya umaria mitoichat kiyah. What he would do is, the Baal Tekeya would blow a tekiyah and a truah, and the truah would come from the tekiyah. Like we have a Shvarim truah, it's a Shvarim and a truah, one after the other. So it would be a tekiyah truah, but instead of pausing between the tkiyah and the truah, it would be a tkiyah truah. It says the Gemara. Vasi Amar. Vasi says, Toikeya umaria. Very, very similar, but one difference. Benishima achas. Meaning, whereas Rav Yehuda said that he didn't even pause between the tkiyah and the truah, Rav Asi says he would pause between the tkiyah and the truah. He would pause, but at the same time, despite the fact that he was pausing, he had to be cognizant of making sure that he didn't breathe. Pause, yeah, breathe, no. The point is, it was Beneshima Achas. Iskin, Rav Asi, Behutzel Kishmaite. Rav Asi, by the way, Paskin, the Lachal Maisin, Hutzel, to do it his way. Meis, Fekta Marakash, Yontav Shalis, Be'er Shabbos, Taikim Vele Marian. You're supposed to blow a Tkiya, you're not supposed to blow a Terua. My love, Le Marian Klal. It sounds like not like any in the Amira. Rav Yehuda said, do it my way. Rav Asi said, do it his way. Here you have a Brisa that says there was no Terua. According to both Shitas of the Amira, there was a Terua. Says the Gemara, Rav Yehuda Matarat Sultami, Rasim Matarat Sultami. Rehuda Matarat Sultami, Le Marian. What it doesn't mean, don't blow a true at all. Rather, what it means is bifneyatzma. Don't blow a set of a standalone true. Elamit teich tkiya. It should come from the tkiya. Asim taratz tamei loy mirim b'shtei neshimos ela b'neshima achas. Maitzo is Shabbos. Amatz is Shabbos. So there was no tkiya, right? You don't blow a tkiya from Shabbos to Yontif, but at the same time you make havdalah. The Mishnah said keitzad mavdila. What was the nusach? You're not going to say Amavdol ben Kodesh L'Chayil at the end of the Havdalah. Because you're not going from Kodesh L'Chayil. You're going from Kodesh L'Kodesh. So the question is, what's the Nusach? So the Mishnah said two Shittas. Amavdol ben Kodesh L'Kodesh. Rav Doisa said, ben Kodesh Chamer L'Kodesh Akal. Says the Gemara, Heicha, where are you supposed to add those words? Ben Kodesh Chamer L'Kodesh Akal ben Kodesh L'Kodesh Omar L'Omar Rav Yehuda. Rav Yehuda said, B'chasi Masa. It's at the end. When you say Amavdol ben Kodesh L'Chayil. No. Not a mavul kodesh l'chol, bekodesh l'kodesh, bekodesh l'chol, bekodesh l'chol. Chenom Rav Nachum b'chassi masum. Sheish b'edu Rav Yidu Yomar, af b'psichasa, even when you're going through the psicha, ha-mavdu min kodesh l'chol, b'nei l'chosh, b'nei l'chosh, b'nei l'chosh, even there you don't say ha-mavdu min kodesh l'chol. You insert ha-mavdu min kodesh l'chodesh, or min kodesh l'chol, b'chosh. But the Gemara says, v'letz l'chos ha-kavasir. Rav Daisa, ime, min kodesh l'chol, b'nei l'chosh, b'nei l'chosh, b'nei. By the way, the loch is not like Rav Daisa either. Amr Rab Zeira said, Yontif Shchol Yis be'emtza Shabbos. If Yontif falls out on a Tuesday, and you're making Avdalah, Oymer, you should say, Amavdol, Ben Kodesh, why are you saying all these havdolos? My time, seder havdolos umayna. Meaning, even though, for example, being mavdol ben sheish yom hashvi l'sheish yemei hamasa doesn't seem appropriate. That makes sense when you're making havdol on Shabbos, but you're making havdol on Yontif. Teretz is an achinami. The real havdolah is ben kodesh l'chol. But once we mention one havdolah, like we do even on a matzoy Shabbos, we throw in all the havdolahs. Rav Zeira said that this is not just true on matzoy Shabbos, but matzoy Yontif. You also have the whole list of havdolahs, even ben yom hashvi l'sheish yemei hamasa, despite the fact that we're not being mavdol ben Shabbos l'chol, but rather what we're being mavdol is ben yontif l'chol. And on that note, hadron aloch, hakol shoich in exile. So the perek ended on a very different note that it started. We started Hakol Sheichten. We ended up talking about the halachas of Havdalah. So just to pick from all the Mishnayos that we learned, we'll speak out a little bit of raid on the last Mishnah. So the last Mishnah was predicated on a Gemara Masechta Shabbos Taflam and Heyam Beis that says once upon a time when the Yidden lived in the shtetl, so there was a Baal Tekeya whose job was every Erev Shabbos, he had to blow sheish tkiyos. It was a tkiya, a trua, tkiya, tkiya, trua, tkiya, each tekiya, trua, seemed to serve a purpose, but the general purpose of what was being done was that the Olam should know that it's time to get ready for Shabbos. How do you know it's Shabbos? You're working in the field. So, I mean, it's not so, you have clocks, watches, phones. How do you supposed to know what time it is? So this dude was a mamuna. His job was to blow shofar, and it was through the tekiya shofar
that the Olam knew that it was time to make Shabbos. This is brought down in Shulchan Aruch. It's in Hilchos Shabbos. It's in Erech Chaim Simen Reish Nun Vav Uboisef Echad. Says the Mechaber, Kshay Yisrael B'Yeshuvan, when the Yidden were B'Yeshuvan, the good old days, they would blow six tkiyas on Erev Shabbos, says the Ramah, that the minhag still is in the Heilige Kehillas, Oisha, if you're within a half hour, an hour of Shabbos, Shemachriz Shliach Tzibur, there's a Shliach Tzibur, there's someone who's appointed, this is his job, Lahechen Atzman LeShabbos, he goes and he makes a ramko that the Olam should know that it's time to prepare for Shabbos. V'hu b'mokoyim hatkiyos b'yameyim, and this is in lieu of what once upon a time were the Sheish Tkiyos, as mentioned in Masech Shabbos, Davlam and Heyom and Beis, and then the Ramah concludes, V'chein roi linoik b'chol mokoyim. I've seen this minig in the Kehilos HaKadoshos. But the truth is, he says it's appropriate for every single kehila to take upon this minute that there should be someone whose job it's going to be to go and to be mezarois the oilam so that they should get ready for Shabbos. The Mishnah Berurah elaborates on this. And Mishnah Berurah says as follows, in the very, very large kehila, it's very difficult to have one person who's going to blow shofar so loud or he's going to start knocking on everybody's doors. It's not practical. Nochim ba'oid, says the Mishnah Berurah, she'imotsu anoshim ha'misnadvim ba'om leilechu lezareis b'chol rechoyves kiryah. He says you should try to get a group of people, because one person's not going to be able to do this job, and he should start running through the streets. Al daskiros hachanuyos, to make sure that the stores are closed. And to make sure that the women light neiros. Uke says the Chofetz Chaim. Nowadays, ninza came bekamas ayoros gedolos chaburos kedoshos. They were actually chaburos, said the Chofetz Chaim. Hamiyusodos. What was the function of this chabura al hashkochas haShabbos to make sure that the oilam keeps Shabbos? Says the Mishnah Berurah, give them a bracha. Va'ashrei chelkom ki hem mezaken es Yisrael la'avim shebashamayim. It's a bracha from the Chofetz Chaim. V'yisku avur zeh, and they'll be zoiche for this. Ha'mischaskin tomid b'mitzvah zu. What's the bracha? Bonim gedoy le'Yisrael. He says that in the schus of them being mechazik the yidden, this chabura kedoysha, he says, I vinch them on that they're going to be zoiche to have bonim gedoy le'Yisrael. So why bottom Gedolei Yisrael? So in the Sharat Zion, the Mishnah Berurah elaborates a little bit. Says the Chofetz Chaim that I'm basing this really on two Mamori Chazal. The first is well known. The second not so well known. The well known one is the Gemara Masechta Shabbos Daf Chof Gimel Amud Beis. The Gemara says Hazoy Biner Havel Abanim Tamid Chachamim. Says the Chofetz Chaim that you see from here that if somebody is careful with Hadlokas Neiros Shabbos, Hazoy Biner means Ner Chanukah Ner Shabbos. You see, it's a school at Abanim Tamid Chachamim. V'sham Haloy Hayozor Rak Ba'atzma. V'Kol Shkein Bezesh Umezakut Tamal Rabbim Bnei Yisrael. So Madach, someone who's Zor Biner for himself, Havel Abanim Tamid Chachamim. If somebody is mezaka other people, for sure it's a school at Habbar of Tamid Chacham. But he says, I have another chazal, and that is Gabe Elkanah. Elkanah, as in Chana's husband, as in Shmuel's father. When he used to be Oyla Regal every year, he used to get other people to also come be Oyla Regal. Say Chazal, Omalei HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Ato ki vanto lezakis es Yisrael. You wanted to be mezakis es Yisrael. Ani oitzi mimcha ben she yizakis es Yisrael lefonai. V'zocha, what was he zoicha to? V'yotza b'menu Shmuel. Right, we know so much about what Chana did to merit Havas alanar hazeh his palalti, the Gemara and Brochis, right, with all the raid and the lumdis and the agad, right? How many drushes from behind the pulpit were given on Elhanar Azeh Espalalti, what Chana did to merit to have a son Shmuel. But Elkanah also had a schuz, right? So what did Elkanah do? He was the father. Say Chazal, this is the rest of the story, that when Elkanah used to go be Eile Regel, he used to be Mizaris people. So Sharet Sim brings us in Elcha Shabbos. So he says, you see that if someone's Mizakis a rabbi, it's a school to have a son that's a godel. She was Zoicha to Shmuel. So says the Chofetz Chaim, that's Mamash tucked away, right? Says the Chofetz Chaim that between the two things, I can make it's Basha. That if you see that when it comes to Shabbos, Harogel Bener, Havel Bonam Tamil Chacham, and when it comes to be Mezakis Arabim, Elkanah was Zoicha to have his son Shmuel, who was a Godel, because he was Mezakis Israel. So if you're Mezaka people in Shmira Shabbos, these Chaburos, says the Chofetz Chaim, this is where I'm coming from. He gives them a bracha, Ashrei Chelkam, ki hei Mezakin es Yisrael, Abim. Now, as it relates to this idea, to digress from our digression, as it relates to this idea of Harogel Bener, Havel Bonim, Tamid Chachamim, said the Mishnah Berurah himself,
brings b'shem da'achroinim in Hilchos Shabbos in Siman Reish Samach Gimel Isa b'shas the zoicha avur zeh lebanot tamid ha'chacham, that if somebody's careful with lighting candles Friday night in that merit, he will be zoicha to have children tamid ha'chacham. The chesiv ki ner mitzvah v'toyra or al yidei ner mitzvah de Shabbos bar or de toyra. Says the Mishabur of Elohe, Roy Shetispalil Ho'isha Acha Shetigmara Adloka. A woman should daven after she finishes lighting candles Friday night. Vahabrocha Sheyitin La Kodesh Baruch Hu Banim Scharim Mi'irim B'Torah. That every woman after she lights candle Friday night, she should daven. Her tefillah should be that she should be Zeichet to Banu Talmidei Chachamim. Because you see, Chazal say that her Rogel B'ner Havim on Banu Talmidei Chachamim. I'll tell you a nice marmokim that I found. And that is that this idea of her Rogel B'ner Havim on Banu Talmidei Chachamim specifically, that a woman should daven when she lights candles Friday night, because it's a schos, founded in the Rishonim. It's Rabbeinu Bechaya, it's in Parshas Yisroi. But if you take a look at Rabbeinu Bachya, and you medayik l'shoyne azov, he seems to say it a little bit differently. The context is a well-known pasuk. U'moisha olo elo elokim, v'yikra elo v'ashem en ahar lemar, koysoim elo v'es Yaakov, v'sagid l'vnei Yisroel. Says Rabbeinu Bachya, Chazal say, koysoim elo v'es Yaakov, elo hanoshem. So why are we talking to the Nashim? And why are the Nashim mentioned first? First talk to the women, the Ezra's Nashim. And only afterwards, V'sagid L'Beis Yisrael, says the Rabbeinu Bechaya. V'oit. So Isha HaToyva, he Siba L'Toyra. That a woman plays a bigger role in her children growing up and vaccine guys to be Amid Chachamim than a father does. Shehi yuchayla lahamshach espinola beis medrash, because she can talk her son into going to yeshiva. Lefi shehi mitzuya bebayis, simply, just practical, she's home more. Vehi merachemes olav, not just that, but she has that koyach of nashim rachmoni yosei, bekama mina gaguim, kidei lahamshach oisei acha limer ha-toyer min umav, vegam ki yaskun lo yosem imena. So it says Rabbeinu Bachya, you want to know why the girls mentioned before the boy? Koysoim lo beis yakiv, and then afterwards we go to the yeshivas, first the beis yakivs. The reason is because she actually is going to play a bigger role, believe it or not, in the spiritual growth of her children. It's practical, says Rabbeinu Bachya. That's a fact. That's why we talk first to her, and then afterwards we talked to him. Says Rabbeinu Bechayev, Lekach, Ru'uya ha'isha l'spalu l'Hashem yisparach b'shas adlokas haner shel Shabbos. That's why the woman, dafka the woman, should be the one to make sure that she has a kfios every single week that she davens, that her children should grow up to be tamid chachamim. Why do you want the woman to do it more than the man? It's because this is her thing. V'lokach, because this is, she's more of a balabas on this. She actually has more control over the outcome of her children. We want her to be the one that's going to do it. And her tefillah should be, Sheyitin l'Hashem bonim mi'irim b'toyim. Now why when she lights candles? Says Rabbeinu Bachya, ki atfilo yoisen nishmas b'shas ha'shiyasiyas ha'mitzvah. Because when a person does a mitzvah, it's an eis rotzen. And it's an eis rotzen that he can dive into Hashem, and Hashem's going to answer his tefillah. U'ki atfilo yoisen nishmas, he has a better chance of being answered. B'shas asiyas ha-mitzvah. U'b'schus ner Shabbos. And then Rabbeinu Bachya throws in, oh, by the way, there's a connection between adlokas ner Shabbos and between shu'ar, tizkul abonu, amali toyer, and akrasar, shenemek, and mizlai ror, kendoshu chazal, haiman, deroga, b'shroga, habu abonu, tzmila, chavim, Shabbos, tav, chav, gimel. But it's an add-on. That's not the punchline. You know what the punchline says Rabbeinu Bachya is because when a person does a mitzvah, it's a tremendous eis rotzen. It's an eis rotzen that his tefillah can be more answered. It happens to be that lighting candles Friday night is a school of Rabbanu Talmid Chachamim. That's a mitzvah that the woman does. We want the woman to daven. It's because it's her geshef. So she's really the one that's supposed to be saying this tefillah. But the point is, it's not the school of so much of Adlokas Ner Shabbos. This is actually a lesson that's much more klolius. And that is when a person does a mitzvah. So imagine, a person does a mitzvah that's coming b'nesoyin, that's not an easy mitzvah for him to do. It's an eis rotzen. And it's a time that a person has a right to stop and be mespalo. Ki atfilah yoisa nishmas b'shas asiyas ha-mitzvah u'b'schus. By the way, it also happens to be a skula. So regardless, the Mishnah Berurah says, brings it in Siman Reish Samach Gimel, and that's of course it's the minhag Yisrael that a woman davens at the when she lights candles Friday night, that she should be zeichet to banim tamid chachamim. What's the source for it? The source for it is based on the Gemara Masechet Shabbos, where the Gemara says, "Hay man the rogel b'ner havin l'banim tamid chachamim." That's what the Mishnah Berurah brings. But this already has a makar in the Rishonim. The makar is Rabbeinu Bechaya, and Rabbeinu Bach adds two beautiful things. He says, number one, the reason the woman is the one that says this tefillah, not the man, is because koysoimer l'veis Yaakov first, v'sagid l'bnei Yisrael afterwards, and the reason is shal isha ha'toyva he siba l'toyra. The good
the good wife. Yisra HaTayva, she's the one that has more of a hashpah on the outcome of her children, even more so than her husband does. And why at the time lighting candles? Of course, it's because candles are related. But that's on the skula level, on a more practical level, because when a person does a mitzvah, it's a tremendous eis ratzon for the person's tefillah is to be answered.